This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. Putin's not got a free shot. All these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Okay, it's Thursday, April 25, year of our Lord, 2024. Ben Berquam's in the courtroom in Manhattan. We're going to have Ben stay there because he's picking up kind of more bizarre stuff that the prosecution's arguing. We're going to go back to the Supreme Court. Mike Davis, I'm getting different feedback from people that are listening to this. Mike, your assessment right now from what you've heard in the first hour.
I think the Supreme Court is going to rule for President Trump very narrowly. It's not going to be a broad ruling like President Trump asked for in his briefs. It's going to be what we've been discussing on this program. I think the Supreme Court, it could be 5-4, maybe 6-3. I think Justice Amy Coney Barrett is on the fence, maybe the chief, but I think it's going to be at least a 5-4, maybe a 6-3 ruling. The Supreme Court is going to side with President Trump, that the president, any president of the United States, is immune from criminal prosecution for his official acts. They may do it through presidential immunity, and or they may say that unless a federal criminal statute explicitly mentions the president of the United States, they're going to do what courts have done for the last 250 years and not, they're going to say that that statute does not apply to the president of the United States to avoid the constitutional question of presidential immunity. So either way, Trump is going to win. Trump is going to win very narrowly, 5-4 or 6-3. This case will get remanded back to D.C. Obama judge Tanya Shutkin, where she's going to have to hold an evidentiary hearing on whether what President Trump allegedly did on January 6th was in his official capacity, like, for example, contemplating firing his acting attorney general, which is clearly in his official capacity, versus what is in his personal capacity. And it's going to, between the Fisher case, where two of these four criminal charges are almost certainly going to go away under the obstruction theory that the Biden Justice Department used against January 6th defendants and President Trump, the bogus obstruction theory, post-interim statute. Two of the four charges against Trump will go away after that, or largely go away after that. And after this presidential immunity case, I think we're going to have about 20% of Jack Smith's case remaining, as we've predicted for many months now. Steve.
Explain to the audience, what do you mean by narrow versus broad? Trump asked for broad. You say this is going to be narrow. Why are you saying that from what you've heard in the arguments? I'll get to the 6-3, 5-4 in a minute. But just the narrow versus broad, what drives you to that conclusion already?
Well, it's a safer place for the Supreme Court to be. They don't like to decide more than they need to decide, and that's just any federal judge does not want to decide more than they need to decide, especially when you're dealing with a novel legal issue like whether a president of the United States is immune from criminal prosecution for their official acts. And I think you're going to have a very narrow holding here, and it's simply this: that the president, any president, is immune from criminal prosecution for their official acts, not their personal acts, their official acts. The case gets remanded, and then Judge Tanya Shutkin, who stupidly held that the president has no immunity, you can just throw a president in jail for their official acts, which is just absurd. And then two Biden judges and a weak Bush 43 judge on the D.C. Circuit rubber stamped that because they're mindless and didn't think through their decision, or maybe their Trump derangement fried their brain. But this is so much bigger than Donald Trump. This is about the presidency and the country. If you can throw a president in prison for his official acts, we're going to destroy our presidency and therefore our country. And I think that argument resonates very well with Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Brett Kavanaugh.
Why do you say that you think between 6'3 and 5'4 it's Amy Comey Barrett? What is it Barrett's questions? Is it how she's prodding into the case? What leaves her as the swing factor, you think, from a 6'3 to a 5'4?
She is a law professor, and law professors, sometimes they overthink things, and this is not something that you need to overthink. We've had immunity for civil prosecution for presidents going back to the Nixon case 40 years ago. We've had immunity, both criminal and civil immunity, for federal judges. We've had criminal and civil immunity for members of Congress. For federal judges, it's not in the Constitution or in statute that they are immune from criminal prosecution. It is part of our separation of powers, because if you can throw judges in prison for their official acts, you're going to destroy the judiciary. If you can throw members of Congress in prison for their official acts, you're going to destroy the legislative branch. If you can throw the president in prison for his official acts, you're going to destroy the presidency and you're going to destroy our country. And so I think that these law professors need to stop being eggheads and think about these things more logically and in context of the Constitution.
Real quickly, tell me about process. Fisher looks like it could cut our way. That takes out a big half of Jack Smith's case. If this gets remanded back to the Obama judge, Chutkan, just walk us through the process. They make this decision. Did they expedite this decision, or we wait till June to get this decision, number one? And then what's the process of being remanded back for an evidentiary hearing?
They could expedite it. I don't know why they would. This is the most consequential case this Supreme Court will ever hear, and probably one of the most consequential cases ever. So they need to make sure that they get this right. That was the problem with Shutkin and the D.C. Circuit rushing this thing. These four ladies in D.C. just mindlessly got this wrong. And so now the Supreme Court has to fix their mess, because, again, this is so much bigger than President Trump. This is about the presidency and therefore our country. So then the Supreme Court will probably rule on this case at the end of June. And it takes approximately 30 days for the case to get sent back to the D.C. District Court. So we're at the end of July, and then you have an evidentiary hearing. That, you know, it would at least, you know, with Shutkin, she might have it that day because she's a partisan hack. But if you had a fair process, it would take at least a few weeks, maybe a month. And then she'd have to rule. And then that ruling is immediately appealable again, because you're dealing with presidential immunity. So that would pause the proceedings again. This case is not going to, President Trump's not going to get tried before the election.
That's what's going to kill Weissman and these guys today. Last thing, you're the first one to really bring up this immunity a while ago. Why do you say, just tell our audience, why is this the most important case that this court, that's already heard in this session and last session some pretty monumental cases, why is this the most important one they'll ever hear?
Well, and I think even the Chief Justice John Roberts and Brett Kavanaugh, not exactly Trump firebrands, would understand that this is so much more important than this particular case. This is so much more important than Donald Trump. This is about the presidency. Again, if you can imprison the president of the United States based upon his official acts, he will not be able to do his job. He will be too timid to do his job. And that means, again, are we going to put President Obama in prison for capital murder for his extrajudicial drone strike on two American citizens, including a minor? Are we going to put Judge David Barron, Obama's legal advisor at the time, in prison with him? How about Biden for his illegal mass parole of 10 million illegal immigrants into our country, unvetted fighting age men who are committing these crimes across the country? Can we put Biden in prison for that? Or George W. Bush and Dick Cheney? Liz Cheney likes to run her mouth about Trump. Should we put old Dick Cheney in prison for lying about the weapons of mass destruction that led to the Iraq War and hundreds of thousands of deaths? I mean, there's no statute of limitations on murder. There's no statute of limitations on capital murder. Do we really want to go down this path as a country, Liz Cheney, Dick Cheney? I don't think we do.
Mike Davis, where can people pick up all your commentary as you're outside the Supreme Court today? We'll have you back at 5, but where can people go in the interim to get all your stuff, all your material?
Article3Project.org, Article3Project.org. Donate there and take action there. Article at Article3Project, at Article3Project on Getter, Twitter, Truth, and all the other social. And my personal is at MRDDMIA, MRDDMIA.
Fisher, the 14th Amendment one, immunity, none of this would have happened if Mike Davis was not part of the mix. That's why it's so important to go to Article 3. And I know that you're dialed in and connected now because the Supreme Court marshals helped you out there with your shot. Just saying, Mike Davis, thank you very much, brother. The fighting Irishman. The next Attorney General of the United thank States. You. The President Trump's Attorney General. Thank you, sir. I'm getting TV rights for his hearing. We got a lot. Raheem's on deck. I got to get to Mike Lindell. He's flying around. Mike, people are bugging me. They don't want to, because you got to leave. I know. What are the deals you got for us? They're raving about them, and particularly our five-star American flag versus the eight-pointed Islamic star that's going into the Minnesota flag, sir.
Yeah, and here I am in Mar-a-Lago. I don't know if you can see the flag in the background there, but remember, everybody, I'm going to six states here in 5 days. I speak tonight in Mar-a-Lago at a big event, and you get this Go Anywhere pillow, this multi-use My Pillow with a beautiful American flag, free with the War Room Posse. It's absolutely free, exclusive to the War Room Posse. You get it free with any purchase today. So go to the website, help support your country, help support My Pillow, employee-owned company, and get yourself the greatest products ever. Go to the website, use that promo code War Room, go down to your see Steve there, and open it up. We've got all the specials, the $25 My Pillow premiums, everybody. That's the one on the left, king or queen. That's what you're all grabbing. We've sold over, I think we're getting close to 85 million My Pillows now sold. That is the lowest price in history. So you get them, then you get your free My Pillow Revival Go Anywhere pillow. You've got the My Pillow 2.0s, buy one, get one free. We've got the sandals and slides, $25. We've got the towels. You got the Shapir towels, 50% off. The dish towels, everybody, all in more colors. You guys have been keep getting them, but we keep getting more in. All the colors, over 15 colors in stock, $25. You got the we got the USA socks, 40% off. All those all just came in. Compression socks, the best socks in history. They're on sale. And remember, we still have those $9.50 sandals. That was the factory mistake. You guys get them. Get one of them for $9.50. And by the way, if you've never been to the MyPillow website, go there now to the promo code War Room, and you're going to get it's for looking around. You're going to get a free $20 online gift just for checking it out. If you've never checked it out, today's the day. Call my operators, 800-873-1062. That also works for mystore.com. Remember, there's over 2,000 entrepreneurs and 100% made in the USA products on that mystore.com. You can use the promo code War Room over there exclusively. We have all kinds of specials over there, and they're all very grateful, Steve. Everyone's so grateful. And I'm very grateful because I'm able to go out now to six states trying to secure our election platforms while I can feel comfortable that my employees are well taken care of by the War Room Posse.
Mike, thank you. Look forward to seeing you this afternoon. Mar-a-Lago looks as beautiful as ever. Appreciate it. See you back this afternoon. Mike Lindell down at Mar-a-Lago, the winter White House. Raheem Kassam, Mike Lindell's down at Mar-a-Lago. President Trump is caught in this ridiculous criminal conspiracy in a courtroom in Manhattan. You had an amazing piece yesterday. I'm going to hold you through the break, but just tee it up. It was specifically focused on the Speaker of the House as only Raheem Kassam can focus. Give me 30 seconds. We'll go to break.
Yeah, that's right, Steve. I guess I can't say the full title of the article on this being a family show, but I think people should head over to thenationalpulse.com and look at the analysis section. You know, it really takes something egregious for me to actually get up off my arse and put something down on paper. And what Mike Johnson did yesterday was snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. I guess we'll discuss it at length after the break.
Well, as I said, Raheem had a brutal assessment, and this is a vast criminal conspiracy going from Arizona to Georgia. You've seen Julie Kelly. Remember, Julie Kelly's done all this work in redacting all these documents in the classified case. She has not gotten one call from any staff member in Oversight and Judiciary. Not one. Not one. Short break. Back in a moment. Hey, folks, if you watch War Room, you know we talk every day about the geopolitical and other forces driving the price of gold. There are actually a couple of reasons this is happening. Let me walk through them. The cost of goods continues to rise despite interest rate controls by the Fed. Since January 2021, cost of living is up 18%. The national debt continues to skyrocket, now significantly north of $34 trillion, causing many to worry when the house of cards will come crashing down, and a presidential election year that will have massive implications on the future of this country. All this adds up to instability and uncertainty, and that is why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. Have you diversified your savings yet? Secure a portion of them with gold from Birch Gold Group. Secure a portion of your savings now with gold and do it from Birch Gold. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898 and get your free information kit. You'll learn how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and it doesn't cost you a penny out of your pocket. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and tens of thousands of happy customers, you can count on Birch Gold also. Just text Bannon to 989898 and claim your free info kit to protect your savings in a time of turbulence, instability, and uncertainty. Do it today. Take action, action, action. Birch Gold Group. Text Bannon at 989898.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
So, Raheem, you're one of the leading public intellectuals in about this red-green merger. You've been for years talking about this Sharia supremacism, but also the way in Europe, you get to particularly see it, the way it kind of worked with side by side and often merged with the far neo-Marxist left. Into this. So this is your moment when you see what's happening on the college campuses, and quite frankly, when you see what's happening in the courts throughout the country, because this is a Marxist takeover of our judicial system. Why then, given everything that you're an expert in, and it's coming your way, and you and I are talking all the time, and you're calling the shots of what's happening, how it's metastasizing the campuses, why are you picking on poor Polly Pockets Johnson when he goes up to Columbia and he's trying to make the case that these are bad things? You came out and you really hammered him yesterday. What? Why are you picking on our beloved speaker?
Because I thought you were having too much fun with it by yourself, and I wanted a piece of the action. But besides that, look, I am certainly no fan. As you know, I've written books about it. I've had my life threatened about it. I've given public speeches about it. I've been to all of the major no-go zones in Europe. I've been to the Arab neighborhoods that are metastasizing into such in the United States. I predicted where Hamtramck in Michigan would be today. You know, I've had the worst of it from anybody. But 5.5 months before Americans will go to the polls and decide. And the Democrat Party is tearing itself in half over this issue. You simply do not interfere and intervene when your enemy is making a mistake. I mean, that was Napoleon's comments at Waterloo. It remains true to this day that you have a situation where the White House, remember, has been sending emissaries into Arab and Muslim neighborhoods in the United States and are getting shunned and shoved out of these neighborhoods, creating this, you know, this political nightmare disaster for Joe Biden and his foreign policy apparatus. You look around the rest of the world, you look at Iran, you look at Niger, you look at what's the latest that we found about just this morning, as we've reported on the National Pulse, about Afghanistan. The entire thing comes crumbling down, and everybody in the United States understands, hey, Jake Sullivan, moron. Joe Biden, moron. These people are making America more dangerous. They are making the world more dangerous. And then, as you call him, Polly Pocket toddles along, to Central Park West and goes, hey, actually, don't forget about me. I hate all this stuff, too. I'm going to get in the middle of all of this and make it seem like for these students and for the faculty members and all of these, frankly, evil people right. that are doing evil things, that suddenly the Republican Party, the GOP, and by extension in their minds, I know not this audience minds, but by extension in their minds, that Trump must have something to do with this too. He's taking an issue where the Democrats have been shooting themselves in the foot repeatedly on this, and he is now using that weapon to shoot the rest of us in the foot. This is stupid, and it can only come down to two things. Abject foolishness, right? But I don't believe he's that stupid. I think he's been put up to this. I think deep at heart, these people, these non-MAGA people, these rhinos, these uniparties in Washington, D.C., do not want another Trump administration. I think he's probably been told that certain groups who back his intervention up there in New York will throw money in behind his opponents, yeah. be it on his side or on the other side. And I think he needs to answer the question. Driven. Who put you up to this?
It's donor driven, and this is why I got with Robert Kraft's got another big whiny piece in the New York Post. He and Cooperman, who underwrote this, and I'm gonna show you how they underwrote because they're on the students on here themselves tell you where they learned it. They learned it in the classroom. Okay, they underwrote it. It's not enough to cut off your donations. You need to go on offense. The problem is not the kids in that square. The problem is in the faculty senate, and the problem is in the administration. This is where you have the Marxists to put it into these kids' heads. Don't take it from me. Let's play these two clips and get Raheem back in here.
And get some sound, but I can tell you one thing that was been fascinating for my conversations here all day is that students said, we know we have finals, we know we should be studying, but this is what we learn about in class, and this is the real world, and this is happening outside our door, and we need to be here and be a part of it. So you have students missing the final days of class, not studying for finals, to be out here, take part in this movement and these protests that are happening at college campuses across the country right now. And USC, this is the scene where we're at.
Campment that has shown solidarity with each other, with other colleges, with the Palestinian people. And that is something that the administration cannot take away from us. However, the administration keeps bluffing the students, keeps promising things that they do not get to achieve. And the way they've been treating us is as if we were strangers in our own campus, as if they hadn't been teaching us what we're applying here at this encampment. So I think people are feeling upset and frustrated at this university and at the state of this country, to be quite honest.
That was that stretch across this nation. The first hit was from USC. The second hit is from Columbia. Raheem, you see it right there. This is what they're taught every day. The problem you have is in the faculty senate. The problem is you have, and these are not liberals and not progressives. These are Marxists and neo-Marxists on these faculties that are putting this in these kids' heads every day. And it's not going to stop until the donors, not cutting off the money, because let's be blunt, they underwrote this for decades. They underwrote this for decades. I didn't hear them making any big deal about it during BLM and the Summer of Love when those kids were out there just as radical as they are today. The issue here is you got to purge the faculties and you got to purge the administration. Raheem Kassam.
No, I completely agree. And you know, you call him Polly Pocket. I think he's Polly Pocket Billiards or Polly Pocket Pool, depending on where you come from. But you know, he goes up there. And it's really his own amour pop, right? He's doing this. He's acting like a big to-do. But what he's actually doing is throwing that issue, you know, which President Trump, by the way, came out yesterday and he really drove the wedge. We have another story up on that on the National Pulse this morning as well. Got a lot of stories up there about, you know, how Biden hates Jewish people, hates the Israelis, but also hates the Palestinians just as much, if not more. And so is caught between this rock and a hard place. And Mike Johnson is trying to throw him a line. Well, look, there are three critical things that you could do if you're the Speaker of the House to actually assail this issue if you really care about this issue, right? You can go after the NGO class. This is massive. It's going on all over the country. They're getting away with this. They're getting away with especially on the illegal stuff, which we'll be covering at length over the next week. week or so, going into these communities and lobbying hard on this issue, lobbying hard on illegal migration, lobbying hard on work permits, all of this stuff. And you could assail those NGOs if you're the House Speaker and you have the confidence of enough of your members. But he's not doing that. You could go after the endowments. You can make a huge issue of that. You could go after the donor class. You can make a huge issue out of that. You could even go after Citizens United. And we can see a lot of these corporations, where they funnel their money, how they funnel their money, whether it's to political organizations, whether it's to universities and higher education. You can do all of those things if you're Mike Johnson. And by the way, one of the things he could also be doing is expunging President Trump's impeachment record in the House. He's not doing any of it. He's not doing any of it. What he's doing right now is purely for his donors. And I bet you this, Kevin McCarthy had a thing where he was pledging to not spend money, right, against his own political opponents in his own party, staying out of the primaries, all of that stuff. Whether he did so or not is anyone's guess, right? Mike Johnson is not beholden to that pledge. And I bet you somebody has told him, hey, all these people going after you, Marjorie Taylor Greene, all this stuff, we'll put in money for their opponents if you go up there and you do our bidding for us on Columbia College campus. Let's hear him deny it.
Yeah, no, no. I want to also the conspiracy. You saw what happened last night in Arizona. You saw what happened in Arizona. This is a vast conspiracy. We're hearing we've been beating up Jim Jordans. We're hearing from Jordan's people that Johnson won't push them. They've got a bill up to stop these persecutions. Johnson won't put it forward. They're saying Johnson's doing absolutely nothing to have President Trump's back. Was he at the sticks? Was he with him on the construction workers? Did he go down and get in front, do a big press conference like he did at Columbia yesterday downtown before President Trump had to go in on this election interference? Have you seen anything on the criminal conspiracy that you've seen that's blatant, that's going on from Michigan to Arizona, Georgia, Washington, D.C., New York, Florida? Nothing has been done by the Republicans. Your thoughts, Raheem Kassam?
Well, I, at this point in time, I've lost all faith in Republican leadership on Capitol Hill. But I would take their silence over their interference, right? Like everything they do, again, I can't say the words that I want to say because this is a family program, but everything they touch turns to trash over and over again. So the best thing they can do, the best thing they can do at this point in time, I think, is just, you know, hold yourself up. You've got the White House Correspondents Association dinner taking place this weekend. Go to your little fancy parties, rub shoulders with your little friends, have your cocktails, have your caviar. Just stop getting in the way of the nitty-gritty of this campaign, because that's what this is at the moment. Every single thing has major repercussions, major ramifications, and it's the butterfly effect, right? Any single thing that you do that is slightly out of step, slightly out of touch, can have massive knock-on ramifications. Mike Johnson, please do us all a favor. Just go away until November. In fact, go away forever, but go away especially until November.
No, no, we want to remove him. He's deadly, but I hear your point. Raheem, where do people go to the National Pulse to get all this analysis? You guys have been doing a fantastic job. Great job.
Yeah, thenationalpulse.com/war room is where you can go and sign up. Remember, we're 100% people funded. Unlike Mike Johnson, we don't take any corporate cash, any donor cash, any political kickbacks. thenationalpulse.com/war room. You can see on your screens right now, you can chip in from as little as $1.73 a week. Keeps our website alive, keeps the community growing, which it currently is. We've got 12,500 people in the community so far. We really want to hit 20,000 by the end of summer here. thenationalpulse.com/war room.
I want to duly noted on the show this morning that my invitation from Raheem to sit at his table, he's always got the best table at the White House Correspondents Dinner, got hung up in the mail. I didn't see it, but Raheem, thank you anyway, brother. Raheem Kassam. End of the dollar empire. Go check it out right now at birchgold.com/Bannon. It's free. The fifth installment, the central bank digital currency, where we also talk about fiat money, fiat currency. Go check it out today. Jack Ryan, Ben Berquam, next in the War Room. I want to warn you of a huge change that could be coming to our money and our bank accounts. First, think back to 9/11, shortly after the government pushed through the Patriot Act. This gave the government power to spy on innocent Americans by monitoring our phone and email and tracking our movement across the internet. Now, Jim Rickards, editor of the independent financial newsletter Strategic Intelligence and New York Times bestselling author, is warning about a coming event that could elevate this governmental surveillance to a terrifying new level. In fact, Some of the guests I've had on the War Room believe that the government will soon expand their powers to track our every move. If we say the wrong things on social media, donate to the wrong causes, buy firearms, or even vote MAGA, the government may be able to shut us out of our bank accounts. I can't say for sure if this will happen, but it's an interesting and dire warning. Fortunately, Jim Rickards, an American patriot and friend of mine, has made it his mission to educate us on what he believes is coming and how to protect yourself from the possibility of programmable money. Watch Jim's warning video now before it's censored like I've been in the past. Go to RickardsWarRoom.com. That's RickardsWarRoom.com now to see the video.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Okay, we're going to go to live to Ben Burquam at the courthouse in Lower Manhattan, the other Marxist takeover. You've been up doing a great job at NYU and at Columbia. Ben, put us inside the courtroom. What happened? What's happened so far this morning?
Well, I have to say, Steve, the highlight of my day so far, they just took a break. President Trump, as he was leaving the courtroom, walked past me. I looked at him, got eye contact. I said, thank you. And he gave me a thumbs up. And that thank you was not just from me. That was from the American people to him. That's my message to him. And I pray that he felt that. Besides that, there were four additional gag order connections or complaints that were brought up by the prosecution. The first one going back to April 22nd, when he said the prosecutor said at one of President Trump's or at Mr. Trump's, one of his press gaggles or his words or whatever those things are. He called out Michael Cohen, called him a known liar, was caught lying. And then he said another one later that night. They had an interview where he basically called out Michael Cohen again, Tuesday morning interview, where he mentioned Michael Cohen and David Pecker by name. And then the last one was actually from this morning, from President Trump going out to that construction site, the only campaigning President Trump's able to do, where he mentions David Pecker by name again and saying, I hope he... I have a platform. I know how to use it, but he's been doing a good job, or he's a nice guy. So basically, they're trying to push this gag order on President Trump. You can tell they're very irritated that President Trump isn't following their rules. But it all comes back right good. Now, so far, to David Pecker. Yeah, exactly. Good. David Pecker, the National Enquirer, and two cases so far, the Dion Sajudin, who was one of the doormen at Trump Tower, who David Pecker paid $30,000 to squash a story.
But apparently all this is nonsense. They're trying to get an election fraud case in 16.
We still don't even understand
what the charge is.
Did
the judge and the prosecutors look visibly disturbed given Trump going on offense?
You know, the prosecutors for sure. The judge is actually pretty quiet. You know, he's kind of one of those acts like he's a nice guy, but when it comes to the objections of the defense, almost always he sides with the prosecutors. So, you know, it's one of those you put on a good face, but the prosecutors for sure, I mean, you can tell they are annoyed, they're frustrated, and it just makes me smile inside when you have to sit through that garbage.
Real quickly, you've been our guy also in Arizona. You saw we're 17 indictments. Give me 30 seconds on that. The criminal conspiracy by the Marxist Soros justice system spreads to Arizona, I think 100 days before the primary there. Your thoughts, Ben Burquam?
Yeah, if you don't see the election interference that's going on, you are blind or you're not paying attention. This is so clear what they're doing. This is the new weaponization. This is the tactic of the left. It's not to actually beat you in campaigns. It's to beat you in the courts and to use the injustice system to take you out. It's happening behind me in the building, and it's happening in Arizona.
Ben Burquam, how do people get social media? Okay, we got Burquam in the court in Manhattan. We got Davis outside the court of the Supreme Court. We got Julie Kelly live tweeting. We got David Zirup there. We're wall-to-wall coverage today. We're going to get back here at 5 and get everybody. In the interim, Ben, where do people go?
At Ben Burquam. I'm going to have to catch a flight later this afternoon, so I hopefully we'll be able to join you again heading to Romania. But at Ben Burquam, americasvoice.news and frontlineamerica.com. I'll be tweeting some new stuff in just a few minutes.
Fantastic. Yeah, Ben's going over for the CPAC Romania or the Freedom Conference over there. Captain Bannon spoke this morning, I think right after or near Orban. Ben Berkman, thank you.
Make Europe great again.
Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Make Europe great again. Two of my favorite people. One, John Tamney is, we've had John on the show many times. He's the editor over at Real Clear Markets. So every day is one of the first things we check. And if you don't go to Real Clear Markets, you ought to. They've got all the top stories. And John, I think John now personally writes these analysis pieces just to get under my skin and make my head blow up. I respect this guy. I love him. He's a great person and a great guy. I don't know if I disagree with anybody more in economics than Tamney, because he's a radical libertarian. His partner in this new book is a guy I've known for decades and decades and decades, not just one of the smartest guys I know, but one of the best men I know, Jack Ryan. So, Jack, here's what I don't get. You came out of Goldman Sachs. You're one of the smartest investment bankers. You then went and dedicated your life to working to inner cities to help in some of these Catholic schools. You and Tamney have written a book that even the cover, even the title, will make people's heads blow up, because the American dream, and I know you're a huge proponent of people getting a stake in the system, is to, as we say all the time, 90% of your net worth is tied up in your home, and that's the American dream. You actually, your title of your book is Bringing Adam Smith into the American Home, a case against home ownership. How would good old Adam Smith be against the American dream, sir?
Well, Steve, it's mostly because, you know, whether you should invest in a house or not is the stuff we learned at Goldman Sachs. Like, it's a rent versus lease versus buy decision. There's not this 11th commandment that you ought to own a house. Is it better to invest in a house than the stock market? And I'm not saying no one should own a home, but the National Association of Realtors and HUD keeps hectoring people to buy a home, and it's not always in people's best interests. By the way, the National Association of Realtors, I mentioned to you, is the biggest cartel in the U.S., and I'm not even joking about that. I bring data. The OPEC, they probably charge 75 cents, 50 cents more per gallon than we ought to pay in the U.S., so that's on 150 billion gallons of gas. That's about $75 billion. The National Association of Realtors charges 4% more than realtors in the U.K. and in Singapore and Finland, Sweden, pick your developed country, on $3 trillion of transactions per year. So the realtors are taking $120 billion per year. The OPEC's taking $75 billion. So when I say this is a cartel, and sorry for the math, I wanted to prove the point I'm making, that this is a huge cartel. And sometimes NAR is encouraging people to buy homes because guess what? They make money when people buy homes.
So make the case from Adam Smith's perspective that Adam Smith would sit there, look at the analysis you got today of home ownership, the depreciated, the tax write-off you get, the increase in value versus if you bought bonds or bought stocks or bought crypto or whatever else, risk-adjusted. Why would Adam Smith, being almost as smart as you, but not nearly as smart as Tamney, right, mm-hmm. who's the smartest guy I know, Why would Adam Smith sit here and go, it's a no-brainer not to do it?
Well, so one, just think of right now, the average mortgage in the U.S. is $3,200 per month. And, you know, compare that to renting your home. And then you have your property taxes. And then you have your maintenance. And then, Steve, all of a sudden you're tied to this fixed asset. And Adam Smith would say, be free to move to your highest and best use. Don't be tied down to this asset in Austin, Texas, or Washington, D.C., unless you think you're not going to move anytime soon. So that's another reason. The other thing, Steve, is like you should not spend any time personally. You should not. This is my advice to you, Steve. You should not spend any time thinking about the plumbing, the electricity, the carpentry, the painting in your house. Like that's, you should be thinking about how to undo the cartel or undo the deep state. Any moment you spend thinking about electricity is a bad idea, right? And when you own a home, suddenly people are not expert in all those issues, have become expert, takes up mind share. There's all these costs. Now you're locked into place. By the way, oftentimes politicians want you locked into place. Why? Because it's harder to tax those things that can't move, right? What would that be the discipline on some of the blue states if you could move across the country for free? By the way, Rex, the company that I started, was moving to 0% commissions. And so it'd be costless to move across the country. Anyway, those are the three big reasons in the short time we have why you should think about objectively. Okay.
No, no, One of the problems we have with family formation is the economy, particularly for males. This is one of the reasons I just it came out yesterday. I think we have the lowest productivity, lowest birth rate, I think, in the history of the country or near the history of the country. Family formation's late. Part of the reason people are arguing is that the younger generation under 35 can't come up with a down payment, can't come up with the ability to get a grub stake with our traditional view of the traditional family in the white picket fence home. You're saying that we shouldn't worry about that. You shouldn't worry about the home part because that's really just going to anchor you into an asset that's not going to have the economic growth as far as the improvement or the uptick in real estate versus other assets. So you're saying that that's something we shouldn't worry about.
No, like whether you rent your home or own your home, it makes no difference. It's just like the analysis, you know, we used to do, all financial guys do, that is it better to own or rent? It's just a financial analysis. There's no, you know, benefit to buying unless you're buying at the right price and things are depressed. And so, okay, good financial investment. In terms, and that, you know, people don't take the opportunity cost of managing their home and all the other property taxes and the costs. So I'm not saying don't own it. I'm saying do the analysis and don't fall into the trap that kind of NAR and HUD and politicians want you to do to necessarily own a home. There's no 11th commandment to do so.
Okay, here's what struck Tammany. I got Tammany's a hardcore radical libertarian. This is one of the reasons I love the guy and he's brilliant, but he and I don't agree on anything. You, on the other hand, walked away from an amazing career to go into the inner cities and be a teacher and try to teach people. You believe in civic society and you believe that what knits us together. Isn't, if Edmund Burke came in and talked to Adam Smith, wouldn't he say the little platoons of what knits us together as a civic society, Adam, is we need people to have an ownership stake, a grub stake in this civic society, in this community. And the way they do that is to buy a house with a white picket fence, sir?
Well, I think that's what the politicians want you to do, because when it's really hard to move, guess what? You can tax people really easily. we were talking about the cartel and the deep state. Sometimes elites want you to do those things that aren't in the best interest of the individual. There's a lot of ways to take a grub stake, whether it's, you know, involving yourself in your church or your community or helping your neighbor, like teaching in the inner cities or things like that, without having to put money into an asset that may not allow you to move to your highest and best use, to use Adam Smith's phrase. So, you know, by the way, you know, if we made the cost of transactions zero to move around homes, even if you want to own a home, here's a benefit, Steve. First of all, the price of every home in the U.S. drops by 5%, right? Because the cartel is charging 5.5% to 6% on top of the price of a home. And the second is all home builders have to pay this 5%. The average margin of a home builder is 7%. Imagine when the average home builder margin goes to 12%. Now, all of a sudden, there's a lot more homes being built. Wow. And guess who benefits from all this? The war room posse. Right. Everybody who has an interest in people moving. Why? Because carpenters, plumbers, electricians, mortgage companies, that all those economic activity creates a lot more. So right now, because of this cartel in NAR, the wages of plumbers, carpenters.
Are you arguing with the real estate cartels? This is another way that blue state politicians in Illinois and California and New York get a grip on their populations, and they don't have the mobility option as they normally would have.
Yeah, because if you don't own your house, you can move around freely. Well, how many people would have moved from Chicago, New York in the last 10 years, or Detroit for that matter, to Texas or Florida if they didn't have to pay this 5% fee? Why do I say that? The price of homes in Detroit's dropping, so maybe the mortgage is equal to the price of a home in Michigan, and now you got to pay 5% on your $300,000 home to move. You don't have $15,000. You can't move to a plant to do your work in Texas or someplace else. So, you know, this all works to the advantage of keeping people immobile so that you can control their behaviors. But I think the biggest thing is just the huge, you know, the $120 billion a year going from middle-class Americans to realtors, which is worse than OPEC. That's just the first step. This next step is all the suppression of productivity. I'm sorry, Steve.
Hang on 1 second. We're going to hold you through the break. We're going to come right back. Jack Ryan and Adam Smith and John Tammany next in the war room. True or false? Using your tax refund to pay off credit card debt is a smart thing. Actually, that's false. DoneWithDebt.com published a brilliant strategy designed to let you keep your hard-earned tax refund and reduce or eliminate credit card debt. Most Americans owe thousands in credit card debt. In fact, Daily Mail's got a story that 56 million Americans carry credit card debt, and that debt will take years to pay off, if you pay it off at all. Done with Debt found that filing bankruptcy is usually not the answer, and taking out loans to pay off credit cards usually increases the debt. When you engage Done with Debt, their legal experts and skilled negotiators take on the credit card companies for you. Their winning strategies are designed with one goal: solve your debt situation quickly and permanently. First things first, chat with a Done with Debt strategist and explore your solutions. Some debt fighting strategies are time sensitive, so you'll need to move quickly. For a free consultation, visit donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Do it today. Take action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Jack, you've actually got a company that's a zero-fee company. We got a minute. Tell them about the company. You're also being sued by all the real estate guys who still want to keep the 4 or 6% fees, right? Which I think a lot of people in the audience are saying, we never figured out why we were paying those. Give me a minute on the company. Where can people go, particularly get more information? Because they found this last discussion. Our audience have a lot of Tammany fans in it, right? Sometimes when I get too populist, we have a lot of libertarians. We have a lot of libertarian, a lot of Adam Smith fans. So tell me about the company. Why are you being sued by the cartel?
Well, so we're taking the fees down to zero, just like TD Ameritrade or Schwab. How can you charge zero and make money? Because people, you have to get mortgages, escrow, title, move. We did all those things for people. So the fees should go to zero, just like it does for Robinhood or anything else. And we're about to go public, about $1 billion. And then NAR joined, or Zillow joined, the National Association of Realtors, and then kicked us off all of the, kicked us off to places you can't see us, off all of the aggregators' websites, Trulia and Zillow and the rest, and put us into shutdown mode. So we're suing NAR and Zillow because the deep state basically ganged up on us to maintain these 6% fees, because all the players in this industry want the 6% fees. Zillow does and NAR does. They all feed on it. Anyway, so we were breaking it up for the benefit of Americans. And
Hold on. I just want to be careful. You're a zero fee. You get it from doing ancillary services, but you're zero fees, right?
Well, that's where we're headed to. We were 2% heading to zero as fast as we could because we had to make money for our shareholders. But 2% is a lot less than 6%, of course. And Zillow depends upon advertising from realtors who make a lot of money for listing homes. So they joined NAR and then shut us down, and here we are. But we got a big antitrust lawsuit against them, and I think we're going to win.
Okay, where do people go to get the book? Where the people? We're going to get you back because they don't really understand the math, but that's fine. Maybe the 6 o'clock hour one night, we'll break it down. But where do people go for the book, and where do they go to find out more about your company?
The book is here, right here, Bringing Adam Smith into the American Home, and they can get it at Amazon or their favorite bookstore, or they'd like to, Simon & Schuster. And then our website is rexhomes.com. We're in dormancy right now, Steve, until we win our lawsuit against the cartel, so we can get back to letting people move about the country for free or a lot less fee.
Okay, we're going to have you and Tammany on one time. We're going to walk through the math so people understand what Adam's going to say. I'm not totally buying it. I believe in owning homes. Edmund Burke's on my side. Maybe Adam Smith's on yours. Jack Ryan, honored to have you on here, brother. And good luck with the book with Tammany, a genius libertarian. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, sir.
I understand. Audience, we're gonna work through the math one day. We'll get up there. We'll get some PowerPoints and do it. Steve Stern, big call today at 3:30. We need it more than ever. I've been on people. Stop leaning on your shovels. There's a big article, I think, in Newsweek saying I think MAGA's got to represent here because Republican Party's taking a breather. Where do they go at 3:30 today to get all of the information you put out on these massive calls?
So we have Christina Bob coming on, Greg Stenson, Dr. Naomi Wolf, Ivan Rakin, Jay Valentine, Joe Hoff, Mark Cook. This is going to be a huge call. You got a live on Getter. You can email me at sstern1054@gmail.com. It's right on the bottom of the screen. We'll send you a link to the show. Last time we had 1,000 people come on. We got everybody on. We're going to talk about how to get illegals off the voter rolls. We're going to talk about early voting against late voting. We're going to have the RNC on. We're going to have a lot of information. I know we don't have time, so if you want to see it, you can go to Stern, American Rumble Live, yournews.com, Getter, X, Facebook, it's everywhere. Melissa Redpill got 60,000 views on it last time. Action, action, yeah. Action. S. Stern, 1054, okay. Gmail.
Okay, Steve Stern, thank you. We'll be on the 3:30. We'll also be streaming it on Getter, Mo, and Grace Junk. Thank you very much. See you at 3:30. These are the type of action calls you need to be on. Natalie Dominguez, home title lock. The floor is yours, ma'am. I got to make sure with all the cyber attacks, all the artificial intelligence, everything going on, people need to protect their castle. We're still believers in the castle, regardless of Tammany and Ryan. But we are going to let them come back and work through the math. I know the audience is sitting there with a jaundiced eye on that one. Natalie, what do you got for us?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me today again. We wanted to switch gears here a little bit because we've been talking a lot about the victims and the criminals and the different ways these losers are committing these crimes, but we haven't really touched on why it's becoming so easy to commit them. I hear on almost a daily basis and have even seen some comments from the posse in the comments saying, oh, county clerks should be liable. Why aren't they doing their job, et cetera? But the reality is they are, and that's kind of the scariest part of all. We actually got the former county clerk for the largest county in Oklahoma to speak with us for one of our commercials because the problem there has become so prolific. And this is what he told us. You go into your county clerk recorder's office, you're trying to file a title transfer document or a quit claim deed, and as long as the required spaces are filled in and the signatures are on the page, they have to take it. And even if they think it's fraud, you know, someone behind the counter thinks it's a little sketchy, there's literally nothing they can do because it's against the law not to take it. But generally, these clerks aren't looking for fraud. It's not their job to match up your signature or make sure the notary stamp isn't something you just got off Amazon a week before. They literally just go, is AB filled out properly? Is the signature there? Have you paid the fee? Great, accepted. And let's say, for example, someone files a fraudulent document for your house, Steve. If you call the county recorder's office and you say, hey, this is fraudulent, I didn't approve this, they don't fix it for you. They don't just go, oh, it was fake, cool, let me just, you know, rip. And then if you call the police to file a police report, they're going to tell you the same thing. Once the documents are accepted by the county, everything becomes a litigation issue that needs to be settled in court in front of a judge. And Steve, this is where Home Title Lock makes all the difference. We don't just monitor your property and send you alerts when changes are made, which is super important, don't get me wrong. But when fraud occurs, our restoration team jumps in and fixes it for you, which gives you total peace of mind. And that is the triple lock protection difference. When our legal system isn't there for you, when the police officers aren't there for you, Home Title Lock can be.
HomeTitleLock.com today. Natalie's there. She's now running all the news and information of it. You're doing an amazing job. HomeTitleLock.com. Can they also get to talk to a professional?
Yes, absolutely. We have a team on standby that's able to offer, answer any of their questions as well. And Steve, the best thing the posse can do to protect their equity is to check on their title today. They can do it by going to our website, HomeTitleLock.com, using the promo code WARROOM. They can get their first 30 days of protection for free and a complimentary title scan so they know for sure that their title is still in their name. And what's cool about our 30-day offer is that they can sign up today, they can check us out, they can get their title scan, make sure everything looks good, and they can cancel it anytime. Again, HomeTitleLock.com. Yeah. Promo code War Room, and thanks for having me on.
Fabulous. Charlie Kirk is next. We are back at 5. Right now, millions of Americans face prescription medication shortages. The FDA's medication shortage list currently has over 120 prescription medications listed. Some patients are being forced into more expensive substitutes, while others are rationing what little medication they have left. Don't get caught unprepared. That's why I want you to pick up a Jace case today. The Jace case is a pack of essential antibiotics that can treat a long list of common bacterial illnesses, including UTIs, respiratory and skin infections, plus much more. And each case can be customized for your specific needs with dozens of add-on options. Just fill out a simple online form and Jace handles the rest. from the online evaluation to license, pharmacy, delivery, and ongoing care. Visit JaceMedical.com and use code Bannon at checkout for an extra discount. That's promo code Bannon at Jace, J-A-S-E, JaceMedical.com. Get the Jace case and get it today. Action, action, action. War Room at checkout to save 67%. And do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.